As I mentioned last week, I worked in chapel programs at San Quentin Prison. One of the talks that got a lot of response was, "Who is Jesus? Does it really make any difference who Jesus is?" So let's think about that for a few minutes. One of the most familiar stories in Scripture starts with Jesus and his disciples in the region of Caesarea Philippi, north of the Galilean Lake. The disciples had witnessed firsthand Jesus' power to heal and to help. They knew that he had become the talk of the entire countryside. So they were prepared when Jesus asked, "Who do people say that I am?" They answered, "Well, some say you're John the Baptist, others say Elijah, others say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets." Jesus asked them, "But what about you? Who do you say that I am?" That's the question, isn't it? Who do you and I say that Jesus is? Does it make any difference to us? Well, it makes a difference if you are concerned about the nature of God. There are people in this world killing other people in the name of God. It's gone on for a long time, but we Christians cannot feel superior. We've done more than our share of killing. But it is wrong. Our God is not a God of death. He's a God of life. How do we know? Jesus told us so. He showed us in his own life what God is like. As Christians, we make an extraordinary claim to the world. When you have seen Christ, you have seen his Father. When you have seen Christ, you have seen God himself. It's like an event that occurred in 1989 in organized baseball. History was made when, for the first time, father and son played simultaneously in the major leagues. Ken Griffey Jr., 19-year-old son of Ken Sr., started for the Seattle Mariners, while his 39-year-old father played for Cincinnati. One writer said, "The physical skills of the father were evident in his son." That occurs quite often. Sons have a habit of resembling their fathers. As I got older, I was amazed at how that resemblance grew stronger with every year. I couldn't really see myself getting that old, but I did. Something far more significant is true of the life of Jesus. The very nature of his Father is shown in the Son. What is God like? God is gentle, loving, compassionate. How do we know? Look at Jesus. My guess is this is one of the reasons Christianity grew so much more rapidly in its early years than did Judaism. All of the teachings of Jesus have their antecedents in Judaism. After all, did he not say he had not come to destroy the law but to fulfill it? But if you were to ask the question, what does a Jew believe about God, a rabbi would tell you, read the Torah. But as a Christian pastor, I can say to you, look at Jesus. A person is much easier to read than a book. That's why we believe the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Does it matter who Jesus is? Only if it matters what God is like. You may know about the Maasai tribe in Africa, a race of tall, strong people. This particular tribe has always believed in one God, Ngai. They believe Ngai is passionately involved in his people's lives. But here's what the Maasai believe about their God. He loves the rich more than the poor, the healthy more than the sick, the virtuous more than the wicked. Ngai favors the Maasai over every other tribe, providing them with rain and sleek cattle and protecting them against their enemies. We would call such views primitive if we were not aware that this is how many Christians view God, a God who favors some people over others. This is not the God that Jesus gave us. Jesus taught us to call God Abba, Daddy, and taught us that God loves all people equally, whether they are rich or poor, black, brown, yellow, red, or white, whether they live in the United States or Communist China. God plays no favorites. God loves us all. Now, is that important? I think it is. It is important in how we think about others, and it is also important in how we think about ourselves. Jesus told us to love one another with the same kind of love that God has for us. Jesus called his Father Abba, the address small children used in the language of that time. It's an address of intimate relationship and close familial love, for which Jesus used the Greek word agape. And that is a cause for happiness, isn't it? Abba is very fond of us. How do we know Abba is fond of us? Jesus. It makes a difference who you think Jesus is if you are concerned about the nature of God. It also makes a difference who you think Jesus is when you're trying to live out the Christian life. Jesus not only shows us what God is like, Jesus shows us what we will be like if we take the title Christian seriously. Jesus is the standard by which we live our lives. The State Highway Department in Pennsylvania once set out to build a bridge across a river, starting from both sides of the river simultaneously. When the workers reached the middle of the waterway, they found they were 13 feet one side from the other. Each crew of workmen had started from its own reference point. No wonder they didn't connect. There's also a small disc on the Meads Ranch in north central Kansas. It's where the 39th parallel from the Atlantic to the Pacific crosses the 98th meridian. Running from Canada to the Rio Grande. The National Oceanic Survey, a small federal agency, whose business it is to locate the exact position of every point in the United States, uses the scientifically recognized reference point on the Meads Ranch. All ocean liners and commercial planes come under the survey. So far, no mistakes have been made, none are expected. The government can build no dams, cannot even launch a missile without this agency to tell it the exact location to the very inch. Location by approximation can be costly and dangerous. And that's why there is so much chaos in the world today. Everyone is using their own moral reference point. What we need is a universal reference point so that we can say, here, this is how a good life is lived. For Christians, there is such a reference point, and that is Jesus. What would Jesus do is a question that for years has become very popular in helping us in our quest for right living. Jesus not only revealed the character of God, but he also patterned the ideal life for humanity. In one of his books, Gordon MacDonald tells about a young Florida man who became devoted to Elvis Presley. For Dennis Wise, devotion meant spending every bit of money he had to collect Elvis Presley memorabilia. He had books, magazines, pillows, records, even tree leaves from the Presley mansion in Memphis. Wise never met Presley, but he saw him perform several times, and he'd once seen him at a distance when he looked through the gates at Graceland, Presley's home. He stood there for more than 12 hours to get one fleeting glimpse. Wise's devotion was so great, he underwent 6 hours of plastic surgery to make his face resemble that of the famous singer. I think Dennis Wise needed to get a life. Still, when you worship someone, it's natural to want to be as much like that person as possible. When we say Jesus is the reference point for our lives, it means we want to make our lives as much like his as possible. Does it make any difference who Jesus is? Only if you are concerned about the nature of God. Only if you are concerned about living a Christian life. And only if you are trying to find meaning in life. In a famous sermon a few years after the discovery of atomic energy, Peter Marshall spoke some words that you and I need to hear. I quote, "Not a single one of the new powers discovered by man possesses any redeeming force. Neither fire, nor steam, nor explosives, nor electricity, nor atomic energy can change his nature. The greatest force ever bestowed on mankind streamed forth in blood, sweat, and tears and death on Calvary, when Jesus of Nazareth was crucified on the cross. It was a power so great that it shattered the last fortress, death. It was a power so great it made atonement for all the sin of the world. It was a power so great it provided for those who would accept the ability to live victoriously like children of God, in fellowship with him who made the world, the sun, the moon, and the stars. It was power that would enable believers to do the mighty works of Christ, to experience flowing in and through their own lives the energy of God. Here is a power so tremendous that with it nothing is impossible. And without it, nothing we do has any eternal value or significance." And all that is true. It is our relationship with Christ that not only shows us the nature of God and shows us the nature of humanity at its best, but gives us the power to overcome the humdrum nature of our daily lives. It is Christ and Christ alone who gives us the power to be all that God calls us to be. Does it make any difference who Jesus is? Yes. It makes all the difference in the world. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a German theologian who was executed by Hitler during World War II. Years later, one of his students recalled the last classroom session he had with his teacher. Bonhoeffer, knowing that his rest was imminent, asked his students a question that took them by surprise. He asked them if they loved Jesus. Now, that is not a typical question you get in seminary. Usually, the classroom is reserved for more academic questions. But Bonhoeffer knew that this was the heart of life. This is the question that stands above all others. Do you love Jesus? Jesus turned to his disciples and asked them, "Who do people say that I am?" It was Simon Peter who gave the answer that has resonated through the ages. "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Is that the answer you would have given? Does it make a difference? Do you love Jesus? All of heaven and earth depend on how each one of us answers that question. Amen.